Telling your story to the media. Everyone wonders how to get their story into the media. The best answer is that you have an opportunity to really hook in any reporter by telling her a great story. What is a reporter's real purpose? People miss this. The biggest public relations companies in the nation miss this simple key. The purpose of reporters is to tell a story. That's the only thing that they do, and they're always looking for stories to tell. As I did research for this audiobook, I used a service called ProfNet to query public relations firms about questions I had or people I wanted to interview. Within moments of sending out my query, I began to get responses, nearly all of them flat. The media releases I received were full of hyperbole and promises and rarely paid off in terms of the experts they described. Most I immediately discarded, but the ones I kept, the ones that really got my attention, were those that actually involved me emotionally. They pulled me in with a compelling story and made me yearn to know more. Out of over 100 responses that I got for one section of this book, I interviewed one person, and it was a person who wrote me an email so compelling I could not get to the phone to call her quickly enough. All of the other responses went into the trash. Interestingly enough, I was able to tell something about the people I would be interviewing by the story or lack of story that they told when they sent me their initial response. Those who were lucid, good storytellers were the best interviews with the best information. The rest ultimately did not end up in the book. So if you can give reporters something that they want, in a format they're used to, a story, who do you think they're going to listen to? You, or somebody who wrote a very benign headline on a flaccid media release that doesn't really draw anybody in, or promise anything, or get them emotionally engaged? Again, the power of stories is their ability to emotionally engage people. It grabs people by the brain, and it grabs people by the heart. It slams the two of them together so that they can listen as one. The result is that reporters are moved by the stories you tell. Practice your storytelling. In order to be a good storyteller, you must practice your story and polish your delivery. Just tell the story once out loud to yourself and then continue to work on improving it from there. One of the best investments you can make when you're learning to tell stories is a cheap microphone that you can record into your PC with. Tell the story into your microphone. Listen to what you're trying to say. Is it coming across appropriately? Do you sound authentic? Do you sound convincing? Do you sound emotional in all the right places? Here is the other thing about stories. If you tell stories without any inflection, without any emotion in your voice, they do not work as well. If you write stories without any inflection or any emotion, they do not work at all. Imagine if I told you the story of the Three Little Pigs or Red Riding Hood and just spoke in a monotone voice. Go ahead and listen as I read this to you in a complete monotone delivery. The first pig made his house of straw and the wolf came and blew it down. The second pig made his house of sticks. Sticks are not good construction material when they're set against a wolf with powerful lungs. So the wolf came and blew them down. When listening to this story in this audiobook, it doesn't move you at all. But when you listen to the original, well, you get the picture. When you tell stilted stories, people immediately disconnect with you. They're trying to figure out, how do I make this interesting to me? So listen to what you're saying and read what you're writing. Make sure that you're using good examples. Make sure that you're using good and powerful verbs that draw people in and get people to take action, that get them to see the things that you want them to see in their minds and get them to do the things that you want them to do. One of the things I do on a regular basis is look at pictures and describe what's going on in the picture. It doesn't have to be the right story for the picture. I just make up stories about the picture and describe what's happening in the scene. Then I show the picture to someone and I say, "Let me tell you the story of this picture." If they look at that and say, "Wow, that's really interesting," then I know I did a good job of describing it. If they say, "Really? That's what's happening?" or they do not respond at all, then I know I probably didn't do a very good job of describing it. This process is just a way of beginning to learn how to tell a story, to learn how to create a story of your own, to learn how to pull people in, and to be able to take situations that are foreign to you right now and be able to easily and quickly put a story together around it, because that's what's required of you when you set out to persuade. There are three stories everyone should have at the ready. Your personal story is the first. When people want to know more about you, you need to tell them a compelling, interesting mini-biography appropriate to your situation. Like all stories, the mini-biography is built in chunks so that you can add more pieces when necessary and appropriate. The second story is the story of your company, and the third is the story of your product or service. Learn to tell your story well, and you'll quickly improve your ability to persuade far beyond that of your peers or competition. Chapter Review. Stories slide past our logic and engage emotion. Stories are persuasive because we've been trained from our earliest childhood to listen and enjoy stories. Stories allow you to put the person you're persuading into the picture, and they get to be a part of the action. Stories are comfortable because they're delivered in a familiar format. Your stories need to be laid out in the proper format to achieve maximum impact. Your stories must be designed to heighten emotional awareness of the problem your solution is solving. When you put your story together, be sure that you employ all six of Rudyard Kipling's honest serving men in developing your story. Answer the questions of what, why, when, how, where, and who. Successful stories shift the criteria of the person you are persuading. Success questions. What is my story today, and how can I make it better? What stories do I know that I have not told that would add power to my position? What testimonials do I have that I can turn into powerful, persuasive stories or that I can layer into my stories? What are the five most important things I have learned in this chapter that I need to apply to become more persuasive? Whose stories do I enjoy listening to most, and what can I take away from these powerful presentations that will make my own stories more powerful? Chapter 6, Gurudom. When men destroy their old gods, they will find new ones to take their place. Pearl S. Buck. Leaders don't force people to follow. They invite them on a journey. Charles S. Lauer. Persuasion becomes much easier when you're a recognized expert because people are looking for someone credible in whom they can trust and believe. They are much more willing to open their minds to new possibilities. Once you develop your status as an expert, it is easy to begin to develop a following, and people who will follow you are much easier to convince than those who do not know you at all. Think of the gurus we look at for advice daily. Dr. Phil McGraw is the undisputed king of self-help and psychology. Rush Limbaugh is the guru of all things conservative. Peter Drucker is the most lauded leader in the organizational and management movement. Every one of these people has something in common. They have a following, people who willingly listen to them, who believe in them, and who lend their credibility to them each time they recommend them to their friends or colleagues. When I talk about gurudom, I use the term as one that encompasses everything from being a simple expert in the field or subject to holding sway over large groups of people. For the purposes of persuasion, it encompasses the first two definitions of the word. The first, a personal spiritual teacher related to Hinduism and Tibetan Buddhism. And the second and most common usage for our purposes, a trusted counselor and advisor, a mentor, from American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, 4th edition. It is important that everyone who persuades professionally or who hopes simply to negotiate better deals becomes an expert and hopefully a well-recognized expert in his or her field. Over the next few pages, we'll explore how you can develop your particular skills and beliefs into recognized expert status. If you follow the plan all the way through, maybe even celebrity expert status. I want you to think about your own experience for a moment. You have probably purchased something in the past you needed, but were not well qualified to buy, which for many of us is some technology product. Depending on the big box store you chose, the experience probably went a little like this. You go in and shop, you read the tags, you push the buttons, you look at all the products in that category. You dismiss several salespeople along the way because you want to look a little before you buy. Then the time comes. You've narrowed your selection down to a couple of systems based on what you have seen. You motion for the salesperson who gladly comes to your assistance. You ask the difference between the two products and look forward to a thoughtful explanation. Then it comes. The salesperson reads to you the description of the product from the tags on the machines that you've already scrutinized. You ask what that means and they can't explain it. They have completely destroyed their credibility, and the likelihood of you buying anything at that point is very low. Contrast that experience to this one. You walk into the store and begin looking at the MP3 players. The salesperson walks up and asks if this will be your first MP3 player. Your answer is yes. The salesperson says, I've had 7 of them. In addition to this job, I'm a disc jockey for parties and weddings, so I'm always trying to find the best one I can so I do not have to drag CDs everywhere. The hard part for me is finding one that has a high enough sound quality, a large enough storage capacity, and that is reasonably priced. What will you be using yours for? You explain that you travel a lot and want something that will help you fend off people who like to talk to you the whole flight, interrupting your work time. The salesman goes on with his explanation. If you do not mind, I think I can help you narrow it down to these two choices. Let me explain why. First, unless you're like me and need to have 5,000 to 10,000 songs on your MP3 player at all times, there's no reason to buy one with a giant hard drive. And if you're not going to be using it to hold photos or watch movies, which are very time-consuming to load, then you don't need a color display. Both of these units will hold about 3,000 songs, that is, about 200 CDs worth of music, and cost less than $250. I really like the sound quality of both of these, too. I do not think you'll be able to tell the difference between the MP3 and what you hear on your CD player. I know I can't, and my clients have never said anything about the quality when I've played it for them at their parties. This is the one I think you should buy. It's $20 more, but the accessories are much less expensive, and you'll save money in the long run. The difference is that you walk out of the second store with your new technology purchase, and assuming your product delivers on the promise, a trusted ally when buying personal electronics. That example shows how demonstrating an area of expertise, in this case, the salesperson who was also a disc jockey, keeps the consumer from questioning the salesperson's recommendation because of the salesperson's perceived expertise and product knowledge. Now imagine you're trying to convince your customer to use your business over your much larger competitor. Your competitor makes a reasonably convincing argument, so you go to work. You demonstrate your expert knowledge by giving a very detailed overview of the client's problem and possible solutions. You layer on the case study showing how you've helped similar companies solve similar problems. Then you bring out your big guns. You provide the prospective client with a copy of your book demonstrating your knowledge in the area and direct him to two major trade magazines with current articles about your particular methodology. Finally, you suggest he learn more about you by watching the DVD showing your numerous interviews on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News. Suddenly, your value goes up. There is significant reason to immediately trust that you'll be able to give him a better solution, even if it costs a little more. Each one of the media outlets that interviewed you gave you third-party credibility. Your case study further deepened the credibility, and your book demonstrated that you clearly have more than average knowledge about the problem he faces and the solution required. You are well on your way to reaching enviable heights of gurudom. The final level is to create a personal experience for each of your clients that is perfect. You deliver on your promises. You show them that their decision and faith is well placed, and you deepen the relationship. The result is that you create a follower, someone who is willing to support you and always choose you without question. At this point, it takes major intervention to pry him away from you. He has a new set of beliefs and a new schema through which he views providers of your product, service, or ideas. Being a guru also does something else for you. It allows you to be discovered in ways that would have otherwise eluded you. When people do a search for your name, company name, or category on Google, they find multiple references for you in media outlets where you've been interviewed, giving you more desirability. They find your blog. A blog is literally a weblog, an online diary that is rapidly creating a place in journalism as a legitimate media outlet, and read your most current posts on your area of expertise. They easily found your blog because search engines currently rank blog pages very high in terms of relevancy to search terms. You are also discovered when your peers reference you in interviews and on television shows, and your book opens doors that you never could before you were published. By now, I am confident you are convinced of what developing your own guru status can do for you. The important thing to know about this whole process is that no matter how small your business currently is or how small your audience is, becoming the foremost expert in your area of influence is the single smartest thing you can do. How to become a recognized expert in 30 days. No matter how widely you are or are not known today, within 30 days, virtually anyone can be well on their way to becoming a well-recognized expert. The process is really relatively simple, but it does require a focused effort on your part to ensure your plan remains on track. You must maintain the effort as well. Gurus come and go very quickly. The ones who last are the ones who focus on maintaining their relevance and visibility. Being relevant is the single most important key to being a well-recognized guru. You must be sure that your knowledge is current and that the information you can provide can solve problems or present new ideas quickly, concisely, and with a certain amount of personal flair. Listen to Chapter 3 on persona again. Finally, develop opinions. They can be similar to others in your field or dissenting. One thing all gurus have in common is opinions they call their own. Here's the roadmap to success to become a recognized expert in 30 days. Number 1. Determine your area of expertise. Clearly define a specific area where you are already knowledgeable. Decide on what subject you want to become an expert. Number 2. Thoroughly study the subject matter. Many experts agree that it takes about 1,000 hours of practice to become an expert at something, language, an instrument, or any other activity that you want to perform expertly. Make a spreadsheet with 1,000 blocks on it. Write down each time you spend 1 hour on developing your expertise, and write down what you studied, learned, proved, or applied. Number 3. Begin to develop opinions. Experts have opinions and share them. Begin writing essays, articles, and papers. Spend time sharing your opinion with reporters and other influence professionals who can spread your word. Begin speaking publicly in appropriate forums about your expertise. Number 4. Share your opinions and original ideas. Give talks, ideally at trade organizations. Even small groups like Toastmasters give you the opportunity to begin documenting your expertise. This is not a time to worry about being paid for your knowledge and opinions. It is a time to cement your status as a guru. Get testimonials from these groups about your expertise and your ability to succinctly share the expertise. Number 5. Write a book, an article, or a white paper. Create an audiobook. A book gives you instant credibility. The book does not have to be long. It is a living document that demonstrates to everyone your expert status, and it gives you, and potentially your company, a legacy. Create an audiobook. They're fast and inexpensive to produce if you're going to self-publish. 6. get your own radio program. 7, write a blog. 8, promote yourself. I want to explore each of the points above in more detail so that you can have all of the information necessary to put each one of these points to work for you. Virtually anyone can do each of the items listed above. The next few paragraphs demonstrate the simplest ways to make each step a reality. Determine your area of expertise. Focus is crucial to rapid learning. Determining your area of expertise is the very first step in becoming an expert. Generalizations are not enough. When I set out to study persuasion, I did not do it with the purpose of becoming the foremost expert in the area of persuasion. But over time, as I became better known in the sales and marketing arena, I knew I needed to set myself apart, to be different from everyone around me. I decided to leverage my current research to become an expert on persuading people. Once you decide what it is that you want to be known for, where your area of expertise can lie, then you can set out to carve out your place in gurudom. You must have a good basis of knowledge in your industry, and by limiting your focus, you can become much more knowledgeable. Thoroughly study your subject matter. In order to be an expert, you need to thoroughly understand your subject matter. Get additional training or knowledge when you do not understand something fully or when the matter is outside your current realm of knowledge. Be sure you study the current thinking of the key thought leaders in your industry and, if possible, learn from them directly to deepen your knowledge and speed your assimilation. Begin to develop opinions. As mentioned earlier, experts have opinions. You must have opinions as well if you hope to persuade and to be recognized as a thought leader. If you do not have an original opinion, then study the opinions of the thought leaders and build on those. If you strongly agree, develop an opinion about why they are right. And if you do not agree, develop an opinion about why they are wrong. Ideally, you'll develop original ideas and opinions as those are the most valuable to your followers and to those who would spread your message, including the media. Once you've developed your opinions and original ideas, package them into usable sound bites so that you can quickly and clearly demonstrate your opinion and why it is correct and valuable to those who hear it. Share your opinions and original ideas. It is important at this stage to share your ideas and opinions. You need to see the fruits of all your hard work. Establishing yourself is the first step to developing a following. Be sure the people who you ultimately wish to influence are made aware of your opinions and ideas. This is the time to begin approaching the media that serves your industry. Identify appropriate trade or consumer magazines that serve your market and open a dialogue with the editors about your topic. Nearly every magazine has an editorial calendar, the description of what stories will appear in upcoming issues, listed on its website. Use the editorial calendar as a starting point for developing your relationship. It is important you identify why you're a good fit for the article and a credible expert and be able to deliver that message clearly and succinctly, as you will have a very short audience with the editor when you connect. There are also services that you can purchase that give you the opportunity to receive active leads from editors looking for people to interview on virtually any topic. The best of these services is PR Newswire, www.prnewswire.com. You can receive feeds several times a day from dozens of editors looking for experts just like you to interview for stories that will typically appear very soon. Write a book, an article, or a white paper. Create an audiobook. Imposing as it sounds, writing a book and getting it into print is easier now than ever. Following the traditional route of identifying a large publisher and having your book published remains the preferred outlet for your book. I'm not going to attempt to show you how to go through the process of developing a proposal and contacting editors. There are many very good books available on the subject, and a small investment can be invaluable. For many people, self-publishing is still a very acceptable way to get your book into print. Self-published books are beginning to receive much more positive attention. When it is purchased on Amazon.com, very few people will know the difference if the book is well produced. There are many companies that will help you through the process of self-publishing a book, and print-on-demand makes the cost very affordable as you can purchase minimum numbers of copies. Later, I describe a method by which you can write a book, article, or white paper in 30 days or less, but first, I want to talk to you about the articles and white papers. Nearly all magazines are looking for well-written, timely articles, particularly trade magazines. Again, in the beginning and maybe forever, the idea is not to turn your writing into a profit center. Many people who write as a regular part of their efforts to persuade will tell you that they do not make money from the book or article. You make money because of the book or article. Articles that are well written and incorporate your unique ideas and opinions are great ways to develop your following and to give credibility to your positions. Most people believe articles are only written by well-qualified journalists or experts. While that is true, it's also true that people reading the articles typically give them credence simply because of their belief that if it is printed, it is better than the information they themselves possess. White papers are detailed reports that explain ideas, theories, or processes in a way that incorporates your ideas and opinions to deliver a convincing message about why some idea is correct or true. White papers are valuable in building your credibility as a guru because they offer people a detailed look inside your company and inside your thought process. White papers do not have to be written by you, and they do not have to contain information that is yours alone. You can borrow from research, keeping in mind all copyright and legal restrictions, and even have your ideas researched and developed and written by others. Ghostwriting of white papers is frequent and well accepted. If you do nothing else to develop your guru status, write your first white paper today and circulate it amongst your peers and those you wish to influence. The biggest reason that most people do not complete this step is that they feel writing is too overwhelming and make the process too difficult. Let me share with you a very simple process anyone can use to write a book, an article, or a white paper in 30 days or less. Decide on a topic. Notice I said topic, not title. Too many people get caught up in writing the perfect title and never get past it. Write out your table of contents, or overview of the article, one idea or chapter to a page. List 7 points you want to make in each chapter on the table of contents page. Alternatively, list the 7 points you want to make, one to a page, if you're writing an article. Put each of those table of contents pages, or each of the 7 points pages, in a separate folder. Collect any needed research, facts, quotes, photos, or other material for each topic in your table of contents or 7 points pages, and then put them in the folder. Initial collection needs to be done in 1 day per topic or less. Here's a hint. If you get really busy, you can typically put it all together in a day or two tops if you're focused only on that task. Begin writing your book. Start by filling in the information around your 7 points in each chapter, or build your article around the 7 points. Write until you've completed all of the necessary information for the 7 points. Optionally, go to the next chapter and stop for the day. Be sure that as you write, you answer the questions of who, what, when, where, why, and how. If you're uncomfortable writing, find a co-author or hire someone to write for you. It's truly that simple. Continue the process until you're done with all of your chapters. Congratulate yourself on having written your very first article, book, or white paper. The very same process applies to an audiobook with one exception. Once you've written everything down, you, or the voice talent you hire, go to the recording studio and record your book onto a CD. You can also record white papers and place them on your website for people you hope to persuade. Get your own radio program. Getting on the radio works very well for establishing credibility, and virtually anyone can do it today. Nearly every AM radio station has blocks of time that they sell to people like you and me for their own radio programs. The blocks typically range from 30 to 60 minutes. As of this reading, you can have your own radio program for as little as $60 per week. The nice thing about radio is that you do not have to do it in your hometown. It is beneficial if that is your primary area of influence, since you can do radio over the phone from anywhere. You simply call up and they run your program live, or you pre-record it and they run it in the time slot you own. Many successful people have developed radio programs this way and go on to syndication. Some do it themselves and others hire syndication companies to do it for them. Depending on your purpose and desired reach, as well as the effort you're willing to put into the project, syndication can make sense. Often, for the sake of time, buying more stations makes sense as well. Here's a little-known secret of radio programming. The minute you have your own program, you're an official media personality with all the privileges that brings, which for our purposes means access. There are very few people or PR departments that will turn down an opportunity to be on the air if there's an obvious fit between what you're talking about and the person you wish to interview. Remember earlier when we were talking about being known by the company you keep? Well, this is your key to the city, so to speak. Plus, the moment you interview someone and help her spread her message or build her credibility, she becomes indebted to you and is very likely to return the favor if she can. I do not want to leave you with the idea that just because you have a radio program, it gives you instant access to anyone in commerce or industry. It does not. The higher the profile of the person you hope to interview, the harder the interview is to get. Use your influence with the people you're interviewing. Ask if they can introduce you to others that you want to interview when you have the connection. For most people who are building a following, interviewing the very best-known people in the industry is not really their goal, as there are dozens, if not hundreds, of lesser-known experts to give you and your show credibility. Remember that the purpose of your show is to build your status as a guru, not to build your status as a radio interviewer. Write a blog. The great thing about writing a weblog is that no one expects the ideas to be long, like an article or a book. But no one minds if they are, if they're well written. Blogs are wonderful tools for a number of reasons. The first is they give you a place to practice your opinion. That does not mean that they cannot be well thought out, but blogs by their nature have a limited readership, though often very dedicated. Once you've put your idea in a blog, you'll often get immediate feedback both from people who send you emails directly sharing their thoughts and ideas and from those who link to your blog posts in their own blog. As your blog and its ideas gain more traction, many other bloggers will often put you on their recommended reading list, so people reading their blogs will read yours too. These bloggers have a lot of credibility with their readers and they will willingly transfer it to you. The second reason that blogs are such powerful tools is that they're treated very favorably by the search engines. Because of their keyword search relevancy and their frequent update, they tend to show up much higher in search engine results. Let us use my own blog as an example. Many of the search terms for which I would have to pay large sums of money every time someone clicked on them in Google or other paid placement search engines are included in the posts that I make, and the result is that my blog ends up in the top position among all of the search engines that I want. When writing your blog, the important research to do ahead of time is the keywords and search phrases that people search to find you and your category. There are great places to do research to find out how many people search particular terms or phrases, but none better than http://inventory.overture.com. That's inventory.overture.com. Simply type in your word or phrase in the search box and it will immediately let you know how many people are searching for that word or term and what else they are searching that is relative. Once you have determined what terms and phrases people use, you simply begin to create blog posts around those terms and phrases. Here's a little known secret. Including those in the headline of the posting also helps with search engine positioning, and they're often the first thing that people searching for your term see, which encourages them to click through because it is very relevant. For best results, keep your blog posts between 200 and 400 words. That makes them rank higher in the search engine results. Also, be sure to create links out of your blog to websites of companies or people that you mention. That also gives you a higher ranking. It also lets those people find out about you if they do not already know you. Everyone checks his or her own name in a search engine. If they do not, they should and probably will soon. Post your blog two or three times a week and keep the ideas fresh and flowing. If you do not have anything original you can talk about current industry trends or comment on particular ideas that others are circulating. Promote yourself. Gurus become gurus because they're not afraid to spread their own gospel, and you should not be afraid either. You simply have to think about building your guru status as a necessary part of doing business. The best known typically win the long race, and you're building your foundation now. Be sure that all your press clippings get up on your website where others can see them. Share your successes by sending out appropriate articles to your clients or prospects that you write. Think of them as additional marketing opportunities. The responsibility for spreading your message is your own, but the better job you do, the quicker your newfound following will start spreading it for you. Take full advantage of the opportunity that your newfound gurudom will present for you and the doors it will open. Focus your efforts on spreading your ideas and message at every opportunity and share your successes at getting your message heard with those clients closest to you. The result will be that you become a leader in your industry, someone with whom people want to do business. The only thing that defines a leader is the number and quality of followers he or she has. Gurudom is yours for the taking. What will you do to enhance your followers' experience today? Chapter Review. People want to listen to and believe those people who have apparent knowledge they themselves do not possess. They want to learn from those they perceive as having specialized knowledge that can be beneficial. Creating guru status is not really difficult, but it takes a concentrated effort. Gurus and experts have opinions that they openly share, some agreeing with industry norms, others not. Often, the best-known experts challenge norms. Develop your opinions and share them today. Once you've developed your status, your followers will spread your message for you. Write a book, a white paper, an article, or a blog, and use the power of the press to give your ideas more credibility and weight. Success questions. In what specific area of my industry am I already an expert, or do I want to be an expert? What do I need to study or learn in order to round out my experience as an expert? What have I done already that gives me some standing as a recognized expert? What is the first book, white paper, or article I will write, and to whom will I give it? Who are the people currently willing to look at me as a thought leader, and how can I influence them to share their beliefs with others like them?